All right, let's jump into it. We've been talking the last few Sunday nights about the promises of God. How many of you know that God has made promises to you? Come on, that old song, and I'm going to remind you, and I'm going to refresh your memory. Every promise in the book is mine. What is it, every dot, every tittle, every line, something like that? I want you to get a hold of this. God wants to give you good things. He's not a man, he's not a liar, he's not an earthly con artist that if you were to ask him for bread, he's going to hand you a stone, or if you ask him for fish, he's going to hand you a serpent. But I want you to hear me out. He's going to bless you with good things. Do you hear me tonight? God desires the very best for his children. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He doesn't hang you out to dry, but he's with you. He takes care of you, and he meets our every need. Do you hear me? I know that we used to have a little saying that you may not get what you want, but he'll always give you what you need. You know what I'm talking about? He will supply all of your needs and my needs according to his riches in glory. But there's a lot more to the promises of God besides just meeting our needs. There's a lot more than food on the table and a roof over your head and clothes on your back or money in your bank account. And today we're getting ready for these kids to go back to school in the next few weeks. Where that's been on my mind. And I want to talk specifically at the end of this teaching tonight about our promises for our children. But before I get into the kids, do you know that your entire household is to be blessed? Do you hear me? We should not live in turmoil. We should not live in a constant state of warring against each other, but we should have the peace of God in our home, the prosperity of God in our home, the joy of the Lord in our home. Our home should literally be a place, a refuge, a place of rest, a place of recouping and getting ready to go into the week, right? And I know in times in my life, and you could say the same in yours, our home, our relationships, our finances, our situations, sometimes they're not that blessed feeling. And sometimes somebody's on the warpath. Huh? It's kind of like that old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But I've learned that it ain't just mama. I can have one kid get the stomach virus and it jacks the whole solitude of the house up. Huh? I've had a bad day and come in like a wrecking ball and tear it all to pieces. My little baby, Julia, can come in and just turn the whole thing on its head. It doesn't take, it doesn't necessarily take one to make a home, but it can take one to tear one up. Amen? Praise God. So if you can, we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. And this is we're going to discuss for just a few moments, and I'm not going to keep you long tonight, but I want to cover this thoroughly, so bear with me. The promises of God for our homes, for our homes. Matthew 7, 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Somebody say his house. All right, let's go to 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not. Do you hear the promise? It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I want to remind you that the promise of God does not say that the weapon won't be formed, but it says, even though the weapon may be formed, it shall not prosper against you. Do you hear me? God does not promise a life that you're never going to see wind and rain and thunder and lightning. You might even see a hurricane or a tornado if you were to look into the spirit realm. But God did promise you that though the winds may blow and the storms may come and the bad times may hit your door, it will not knock it down if you're founded upon the rock. You will be able to withstand the attacks of the adversary. And that goes for your marriage, that goes for your children, that goes for your finances, that goes for every aspect of you and your home. Come on. There's a famous passage of scripture that we find on little plaques and on plates and on afghans and up on walls. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's paraphrased. It's a way longer verse. If you want to get into that and study it, you can. But it's time that we as Christian believers stand up and we declare that as for me, as for my wife, as for my kids, as for my visiting family members, we are going to serve the Lord. And my home, my house, is going to be a habitation, if you will, a place of peace and a dwelling spot for the Holy Spirit to have his way. And I declare and I claim every promise that God has for my house, for my house. You ever moved into a home and you walked in and it felt dark? I never forget, there was a house that we bought one time. We were rehabbing it, flipping it. We gutted it down to the studs. And every time you walked in that place, it felt dark. It'd give you the heebie-jeebies. You felt darkness. You felt like somebody was looking over your shoulder. You felt like there was something dark that went on in that home at some point in its history. And I believe that there are things called familiar spirits. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are spirits that attach themselves to certain geographic locations. There are spirits that come in and that have strongholds in certain cities and in certain places. There are demonic influences that attach themselves and literally rule and reign if allowed to do so. And there are people under the sound of my voice, whether you're here tonight or you're watching on media, your home has been targeted and has been a place, a stronghold, if you will, for the darkness and the damnation of hell to attack and to attach itself. Maybe your children aren't able to sleep without having nightmares. Maybe you come in and you just get stressed. Maybe you have thoughts of suicide, or you have thoughts of negativity, or every time you get together there you fight and you fuss. I'm here to tell you something. It's not just natural. It is the supernatural things, and demon spirits come to lay waste and to curse and to bring harm, to kill, to steal, and destroy a believer's home. But the darkness has to leave when the light is present in the place. I don't care how many words of negativity have been spoken. I don't care how many acts of witchcraft. I don't care how many arguments. I don't care how much dope, how much alcohol, how much illicit sex, how many bad things have transpired in a location. Once you consecrate it, once you dedicate it, and once you declare that Jesus is the Lord of that place, you can take back what the devil has instituted and turn a place of darkness into a habitation of light. We, as Christian people, have got to understand that we are engaged in warfare and in a battle, and the battle is not just against you, mama, or you, daddy, but for your children and for your sanity and for your peace in your home. The devil wants to kill you. He's not going to do it just at work. He's not going to come bash you over the head at Walmart. He's not going to come in to your workplace or to the school and try to kill you there. Yeah, he may be doing it there, but he targets and he tries to infiltrate the sanctity of your dwelling. So we got to put up a standard. We've got to pray. We've got to seek the Lord. We have to declare things over our front porch, back porch, left and right. We have to cover our homes with godly living and prayer. Praise the Lord. God loves the home. It is high on his lists of blessings. How many of you know that your house is a blessing? I don't care if it's a shack. I don't care if it's made out of cardboard. I don't care if it's the worst house you've ever lived in. It is a blessing that is yours to maintain and to steward over until Jesus puts you somewhere different. Come on. I don't care what it may appear like, or it may not be your dream home, it may not be your final landing place, but it is where God has placed you, where he has planted you, and where he is sustaining you for this season. And if we are to be content in all things, we need to see our home as what it is, a blessing from the Lord. Come on. It is high on his list of blessings, and he has made promises precisely for our homes. It doesn't matter if it's an apartment, it can be a camper, it can be a mansion. God has blessings for your dwelling place. Come on. God loves it. He loves it. In this scripture we read that the rock, the house was built upon the rock. That tells me that the foundation is the most important aspect of the dwelling. If the foundation of your home is not on the right thing, the rest of it may have the appearance. The rest of it may be perfect. The rest of it may look the part. But when the wind blows and the storms rage, it will shift on life's sand and fall to the ground. You can't hide from God, and you can't hide from the devil's attacks. Come on. There's but one reason that the house didn't fall, and it was because of a rock of a foundation. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. The rock is God's word. The rock is Christ Jesus. The rock is his promise. Praise the Lord. When a man feeds on the promises of God daily, let me tell you what will happen in his home. When you base your family's activities, when you base your meal time, when you base getting ready in the morning on the things of God, stuff begins to shift. A three-stranded cord is not easily broken. A marriage is a great picture of that. You have the man who's the husband, you have the woman who's the bride. They come together, and the third party is God. When you have a man, a woman, and God, it's a three-stranded cord that the devil himself cannot pull apart. Huh? When you have a generation of mom and dad, a generation of children, that's two strings. You put God factor in the middle, your children and your parents will not be torn apart. Are you hearing me, somebody? God wants every aspect of your home to be surrounded by and full of his promises. A man or a woman that feeds on the promises of God will never talk about how poor or how pitiful or how less than they are. Do you hear me? It's kind of like that man that said he came over there into Africa. He was a shoe salesman. You've heard this probably. And he looked around and he got back on the plane. He said, "We can't do any business there." He said, "Nobody here wears shoes." They sent another man into the village, got off the plane, he got on the phone, he said, "Send me every pair of shoes we have. Nobody here has any." Same situation, two different outlooks. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? You may look poor compared to somebody on Facebook, but you can have the riches and the wealth of heaven at your disposal, and you can have far more than anybody else has. God will shift your vision from the glass is half empty to the glass is half full. God will shift your position from look where I'm at in this bad spot to look at the opportunity that God has afforded me in this time. It's not about your circumstances. It's about holding on to the promises of God. Hallelujah. You can gripe about the hinges on your cabinets. You can gripe about the squeaking of the door. You can gripe about the roof leak, and you can gripe about the crack in the foundation. But I want you to listen to me. You may live in a shanty shack on this side of glory, but if you keep your eyes on the things of heaven and if you lay up your treasures on the other side, you may live in a box down here, but when you walk through those pearly gates, God's got a mansion with your name on it. You've got something great to look forward to. Don't get stuck in the temporary negativity of this life. Put your eyes on what God has promised you as a future of a blessing that you're going to have for eternity. A man that and a woman and a family that circles around the promises of God, they're going to talk about new things, new opportunities, new powers that God gives you every day. They're going to talk about new anointings. They're going to talk about new ways that they can, as Brother Bill said, make converts. Huh? You know, God may have you right where you're at because he wants to minister to somebody. And he said, you're going to stay in that valley till you grab a hold of somebody to bring out. You might be surprised at just how elevated you would get if you'd grab a hold of somebody and preach to them about what Jesus has done for you. You might be surprised at what elevation God brings you to if you'll just reach over and say, "Hey, I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you what Jesus has done for me." If you shift your vision from the problems of this world and start looking at the promises of God, you will transfer from faith to faith, from victory to victory, from mountain to mountain. You don't get stuck in the mud when you're moving. You get stuck when you stand still. You'll sing a new song. Anybody ever have victory in the morning when you wake up and you just feel like praising God? Whether you sing or not, you get in there and you make a racket. Anybody ever get up after you just had the best meal and you just thank God, oh, I'm so thankful. Meatloaf, mashed potatoes, English peas. Glory to God, peach cobbler. Just start wanting to tell him about how thankful you are, right? We ought to have enough sense if we're eating a microwave Tyson McNugget that we got enough praise in our lungs that we can sing about that. America's homes today need that. We need victory. We need joy. We need peace. We need contentment, not complacency. We need to be content where God has us. I'm talking about the home, church. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Huh? The home. Proverbs 12 and 7. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the Lord, the house of the righteous, shall stand. How many of you know that you don't have to go through every defeat that the worldly people have to go through? The divorce statistic should not apply to the church. Do you hear me, somebody? The drug addiction statistics, they don't apply to our children. Okay. The alcoholism don't apply to my house. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? The wicked can be overthrown. The wicked can be defeated. The world can fall apart. But we are not going to. Why? Because I'm a righteous man. My wife is a righteous woman. My children are going to be righteous children. And we are going to stand when everybody else falls. The blessings and the promises of God say that you can stand while everybody else is falling apart. That goes for a lot of different things. God's promises deal very strongly with love and with marriage and with home and with parenthood and relationships. We should not be worrying about disunity in our home. It's God's promise. It's God's will for you to be blessed coming in and going out. In the modern day of disastrous home life, I'm talking about, I don't know what the statistics are. I wish I would have taken some time and got some. I guarantee you, here in Cass and Bowie counties around here, I guarantee you there's no telling how many busted up, tow up families, homes, how many people are having to live off of nothing, having to deal with pitiful situations. I can tell you this, there's homeless folks right here in this town. We don't have to go to Dallas or to Little Rock or to Shreveport to find folks that are completely destroyed. Look next door, there's folks that are hurting right around the corner. We're living in a disastrous time. But the Bible gives guidance with numerous promises related to the right kind of love. Did you hear what I said? The right kind of love. The godly kind of love. Praise the Lord. America has never had it so good materially. We've never been more blessed with money and riches and goods and cars and homes and phones and all these things. Come on. We've got play pretties. We've got toys. We've got appliances. We've got, how many appliances do you have? You got a washer. You got a dryer. You got an oven. You got a microwave. You got an air fryer. You got a deep fryer. You got a hair dryer. Dishwasher. You got a button that turns this on and a button that turns that on. You got a gas log. You ain't got to split no wood no more. When the power goes out, your generator kicks on and turns your light switch back to working. Everything you have, you hit the button, the gate opens up. You hit the button, the gate closes. I need a button that feeds cows. They probably got it. Huh? For long, now we got these, Jonathan, y'all got one of them lawnmowers. It's like a Roomba vacuum. It mows your grass. It drives around, does it for you. Let me tell you something. We blessed, church. We got 50 hired hands working for us round the clock. We got people, we got machines doing all this stuff for us. We got it blessed in the natural. We got it money in the bank. We got the first ever trillionaire. Put that into trillionaire. And we're over here spiritually starving to death as a nation. We got folks that can't get along. We got folks that fight, fuss, cuss, throw stuff, bust up, run around, shoot people, killing spirits. I'm serious. There was a gentleman the other day, rolled up to a burger joint, started shooting people. Got everything in the world, but families are falling apart. America has never been so much blessed, but we've also never been so morally and spiritually in lack. We need to study these promises. We need to take these things that God says about our home, and we need to apply them right where they fit. This is a balm that can soothe and can heal. This is an instruction that can direct us and show us what to do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We all have lack in areas. I can promise you right now, the best of the best has lack in some area. So let's look at what God says. Exodus 20 and 12. The first commandment with the promise that God ever gave is Exodus 20 and 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This makes a strong home with honor and respect. There's a lot of people that don't have a handle on their kids. All right. I'm not going to meddle, but I'm going to say this. We as parents need to do what it takes so that our children see a reason to honor us. We cannot, kids are smart. They're not ignorant little dummies. They know what's up. They understand in context what things are. And we cannot live like hell and say, do as I say, not as I do, and expect our children to honor us. We have to lead by example, and you can't lead from behind. Let me put it like this. How do you spank a kid? From behind. If you're relying on spankings to lead your children, you're already behind. You ain't got it yet. You have to lead from in front. And then if they get out of line, then you get behind them and help them along. But as long as you're trying to just do it from behind, you're always going to be lacking. You have to lead. You have to show. You have to live so that they can see an example that God wants them to have. Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a faithful promise that God is obligated to fulfill. Listen here, do you want to sow into your kid's life? You want to leave them an inheritance? You want to leave them things? Everybody in here would say, I want to give my kid, when I die, I want my kids to have some money and some stuff and be set up so that they're not, I don't want to just leave them a bucket full of bills. Huh? I want them to be taken care of even after I'm gone. That's the natural thing. If you say you don't care what your kid gets, you're going to be dead anyway, then you have unnatural affection. The Bible has a special verse about you. It's in the same category as homosexuals and people that love dogs more than they love babies. But we as natural, godly parents should desire to give an inheritance to our children. Right? Here's the cool part about it. If you train them up when they're young, when they're old, they'll get an inheritance that money cannot buy. They'll have the peace of God. They'll have the joy of the Lord. They'll have spiritual insight. They'll have the leading and the guidance. They'll have the fear and the admonition of the Word of God. What am I saying to you? We have to sow if we want to reap. Train up a child. It takes a lot of work. You have to put the effort in. You have to show, you have to be, you have to study, you have to teach, you have to lead, you have to guide, you have to show them what a relationship with God looks like and then help them cultivate theirs. You have to answer the hard questions. You have to be honest when it hurts. You have to ask for forgiveness when you make mistakes. You've got to show a repentant spirit when you fall. You got to be what it is. Like Paul said, I've become all things to all men so that some could be saved. What about our children? What about our children? Let's keep going. We have to consider others in the home. Do you know that relationships are built on a two-way street? If you're constantly taking and constantly removing and constantly sucking it all up for yourself, eventually the person that you're leeching off of is going to die. We are not called to have a one-way relationship in our home, but we have to be considerate of other people in our home. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. This goes for mamas too, okay? Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do what? Do you know how easy it is just to say, get up, do what I said because I said so? Huh? Do you know how easy it is just to say, get away from me and leave me alone, I'm just going to do it myself? Remember I talked about patience this morning? The promise is that your child is going to be a disciple of Christ that's mature and able to reproduce disciples of Christ. And if you're not patient with those disciples, you're going to throw it away. But if you take time, and if you don't provoke your family, and if you don't pick on them till they're bitter, and you don't shove them until they get just where they hate you. Are you understanding where I'm coming from? Or you're just controlling till they don't trust you. I'm just being honest. You have to do it with care and consideration. When they're hurting, what does consideration mean? Well, if it's the opposite, you fathers and mothers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's the opposite of provoking them to wrath? Anybody hear me? Don't tempt them to sin. Don't push them till they break. Don't mess with them till they blow up. When they're having a hard day, say, come here, baby, let's talk about it. Let's fix this. Or was somebody mean to you at school today? Don't do that mess. Or better yet, when your husband comes in, you can see it all over his face that he's been in a bind and he's hot and he's sweaty. Don't go pushing his buttons. Or when your wife comes in and she's had a, or you come in and your wife's been dealing with, I'm talking about me right now, and she's been dealing with them kids all day and her hair's all frizzed up and her face is all twisted up and she looks like she's been fighting in a ring with about 15 wrestling people. Don't say, where's the dinner? Did you pick up my clothes from the cleaners? No, Shelby, I have not. I ain't left this house. I'm telling you, you can tempt people. You can push people to the breaking point, and it ain't going to do nothing but destroy the peace and the tranquility in your home. Be a builder, not a breaker. Be considerate of other people in your house. The promises for the house and business. Somebody listen here. Deuteronomy 7 and 13, if you'll pull that up for me. Do you know that God doesn't just want your house to be blessed, but what funds your house? Let me put it like this. They have people every year that win the lottery, that get all kind of things, and guess what? Within a short amount of time, they're broke, they're in debt, they're unhealthy, and they're worse off than they were. Why? Because they don't take care of what they got. Easy come, easy go. They took a huge apartment complex in Chicago, and they built it brand new from the ground up. It was massive. It was to solve a major housing issue in the pitiful places in the dark neighborhoods of Chicago. And guess what? Within, I think it was a year and a half, they had to condemn the building because the people took a brand new, nice place and destroyed it. Do you hear me? We have to take care of it. And God's promises for the house. All right, so here, Deuteronomy 7 and 13. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. I want you to get a hold of this. They were talking in this scripture. God's talking to them about their way of life, their fruits, their vegetables, what they ate, their flocks that produced milk, that produced wool, that produced kids that they would sell. This was not just what you have as a pet. God's not care. Don't, I mean, well, God may care about him, but Fido and Fifi and Rufus, that ain't what this is talking about, your little puppy and your dog, all right? This is talking about the labor in your fields. This is talking about your harvest. This is talking about your lambs and your goats and your cattle and your donkeys and your camels. I'm going to bless thee and I'm going to take care of thee and I'm going to multiply thee. I'm reminded of Obed-Edom. The Bible says that they took the Ark of the Covenant and placed it in Obed-Edom's house, and Obed-Edom's house was blessed. In fact, it was blessed so much that word got back to the king of the amount of blessings that were on him and his whole family. And the king said, go get that ark because I want the blessings on my kingdom and in my house. Let me tell you what you've got access to. The ark of the covenant ain't in the form of a box. It's in the form of a dove that ascended as fire at Pentecost. And today, that same Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you have access to the blessings of God in your home. I believe Obed-Edom's corn had twice as many ears, his wheat had twice as many heads. I believe that his lambs had triplets and quadruplets. I believe his cattle had twins. I believe his milk animals made twice as much as they did. And you say, well, why in the world would you say that? If it was a little blessing, David wouldn't have heard about it. But the whole neighborhood and the whole kingdom was talking about this right here. God has a promise for your house and for your business. Let's go to the fifth point. Promises to bless your future and the future generations. Psalms 102 and 28. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. How many of you are glad that you're established? How many of you are glad that you don't have to worry about what's going to come your way? You are rooted. You are formed. You are put in position. Your foundation is sure. You're established. You're established. Y'all remember whenever you got those little crochet things that used to be real popular? Everybody had one. It was a dually, whatever you call them things. Dually, there you go. And they put it in a frame, and it had your name on it. You know what I'm talking about? And some of them had EST dot and a date. 1974, 1982, 2026. Why? It was representing the covenant of that marriage established that date. You ain't got it yet. What God's put together, what God establishes, what God glues in place, let no man cast it asunder. Let no man separate it. Let nobody come and bring divisions. Your children, your future generations, we need to speak over them. You are established in the kingdom of heaven. You are not going to backslide. You are not going to fall back. You are not going to return to the ways of this world. But we have made a covenant with God, and we have established it and signed it with the blood of Jesus, and we're not going to take anything less for all of the future. Isaiah 44 in verse 3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Listen to this. This is talking futuristically. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Did you hear what I said? It ain't talking about grain and corn only. It's talking about your babies and your grandbabies and your great-grandbabies. As Acts 2:39 said, this promise is for you and your children and your children's children and as many that the Lord our God shall call. God has a plan to pour the blessings for all future generations. Praise God. There's a promise to the just. How many of you know that if you run your house as God would, fair and just, that you're going to be blessed? Proverbs 20 and verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Do you know that your integrity will heap blessings upon your children? Do you know that if you do your business right, that your children will be blessed with a good name that people know they can trust? It's not just you that you affect. It's your children and the generations to come after you. Praise God. Let's go here to Jeremiah 49:11. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive. And let thy widows trust in me. God will preserve our children alive. There can be a school shooting going on. And I believe that the Holy Ghost can just come in and shut it all down and preserve our children. There can be issues. You know what it means to preserve something, right? You take fruit, you cook it, you put it through the heat, and you burn out the bacteria. You throw it in a jar, you seal it up, you put it in that hot water bath, and you boil it for X amount of minutes, depending on where you live and what atmospheric pressure you are, and it takes all the impurities out of the jar. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, preservation will keep what won't keep, what'll spoil, what'll stink, what'll have mold all over it. If you have it preserved 6 months from now, you go crack the jar open, it's as good or better today than it was when you put it up in there. I want you to hear me. 15, 20, 30 years after you're dead and gone, your children are going to be just as on fire for God as in their 40s and in their 50s as they were when they were at youth camp or in children's church or in Sunday school. I don't want a godless generation to follow me that had an experience in their youth but didn't keep it in their grown age. We need God to honor that promise that He'll preserve the zeal of our children. Praise the Lord. Psalms 37 and 25. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures tonight, but I'm teaching and I want you to get this. Psalms 37 and 25. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. He's saying here, he said, I was a young man and I saw it then. I'm an old man and I'm still seeing it today. One thing ain't changed. I've never been able to find God forsake his people. I've never been able to find his people in the streets begging bread, because God supplies the needs of his children. God's going to supply the needs of you and every one of your seed to follow. God takes care of his people. We get stressed. We get afraid. We get worried. We doubt. Stock market's doing this, bombs going off overseas, wars, rumors of wars. Daddy said there'd be days like that. But one thing doesn't change. There may be bombs in this world, but there's rejoicing in heaven. There may be hard times on streets down here, but there's rejoicing in streets of gold. There may be insecurities and we don't know what to do down here, but there's always direction in the spirit realm. God's going to take care of his seed and his children. And so I want to talk here briefly for just a moment about the unity of family. How many of you know that if you're unified, that you can attain anything? The Tower of Babel is a story really of unity. They were unified for the wrong cause, but God himself said that because they're in one tongue and one language and one mind and one accord, if you would, there's nothing that they cannot accomplish. So he came down and confounded their language and he spread them all over the world. Pentecost was the reversal of that in an essence. And what was once used to separate everyone, the language, heavenly language, brought everybody together. Did you catch that? God desires a Pentecost experience for your family, that everybody is unified under the same banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was good for Adam intellectually, emotionally, socially, and spiritually not to be alone, but to have a family and a home. God saw him, the first man. God said, it ain't good for him to be alone. Remember that? So what did he do? He caused a deep sleep to come over him. He was the first anesthesiologist. And he reached and he pulled a rib out. And from that rib, he created Eve and called her woman. And from that point, God said, you are going to be a helpmate. You're going to be a partner. You're going to work alongside. You're going to be a co-equal. Did you hear me? A co-equal. Women and men were not created differently as far as authority went. That didn't happen until sin entered the world, and the curse of that sin was that women were subdued by the man. That's why y'all can't stand it. It's all right to say amen, Kelly. It's a reality. Men and women were not created to be alone. We were not created to be separate. We were created to be harmonious and unified. That's why when the unity in the marriage is good, the kids tend to fall in order. Most of the time, the children's problems are not theirs. They're just emulating and imitating what's going on in the hierarchy. Are you feeling? Mom and dad's fighting all the time. Kids are having problems at school. Daddy's doing this. Mama's doing that. The kid tries to. Some of us have had this excuse before. Well, my daddy was this way and my mama was this way and I'm just following suit. That's a lie from the pit. And you may be a first generation unifier because just because mom and daddy fell apart, just because mom and daddy didn't have it together, just because mom and daddy got divorced and drug addicts and everything went to hell in a handbasket, you can be the man, you can be the woman that says all the past generations didn't do what they were supposed to. But as for me and my house, I'm going to toe the mark. I'm going to carry the load. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him help meet for him. Ephesians 5:31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One. That is not. Oh. When your husband hurts, wife, you ought to hurt. When your wife hurts, husband, you ought to hurt. You should not punish. You should not cut them off. You should not harm or hurt or say. You should love and be a burden bearer. You want me to prove it to you? Let me cut your little toe off and see what your other foot does. Huh? If you're one flesh, act that way. Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We need a revival of hearts being turned. We need a resurrection of hearts being turned to each other. Y'all ain't got it yet. Mamas and daddies, we need to have compassion for our children. Children, we need to honor and have compassion for our family members, our moms and our dads, grandparents, uncles, aunts, kinfolks, different things. Can I have 10 minutes? I want to talk specifically God's promises to children for just a few moments. Home is the greatest institution, period. Home is more important than the church house. Some of you may not agree with that. You may not understand that. But if you're just good at church and you're not good at home, you're a hypocrite and a liar. The church should emulate and imitate what's going on at your home. Worship begins at home. Praise begins at home. Prayer begins at home. Salvation should continue at home. Mm-mm-mm. If you got to wear a pretty dress and a nice pair of clothes to be saved, then you ain't got it right. Mm-mm-mm. And children, so we're talking about men and women being one flesh. When we come together and that covenant is consummated, children are the fruit of that marriage, right? And I know some of us have some different circumstances and some different situations. Some of you are the fruit of things, and some of you have produced fruit out of wedlock. And it's, you can't change your past. Right? You say, Shelby, that's a hard subject. No, it's not a hard subject to talk about. If we can have OnlyFans and Tinder and every kind of pornographic institution in the world, then why can't we talk about children being born out of wedlock at church? It's a real issue. And I would say that there's nothing wrong with it for the sake of the child. But the parents need to do their job and take care of what they created. Two people having a child out of wedlock doesn't mean, and I'm just going to make this real clear, you don't have to marry that person if they're not who God has for you. Because two wrongs don't make a right. And I'd rather a man raise a child separate from a woman that was not meant to be his wife, or a woman raise a child separate from a man who was not meant to be her husband, than for them to get married and have hell on earth the rest of their life and get divorced 6 months later anyway. Some of you are married today because you got pregnant before you were married, and that's why you're here. That's why you're together, and that's fine. I'm glad you're together. I'm glad you're making it work. Children, listen to this, no matter what the circumstances are, I don't care if you got raped. I don't care if you got molested. I don't care if it was a bad relationship. I don't care if it was a one-night stand. God don't make no junk. And there ain't no baby that deserves to be aborted or to be murdered because of the mistakes of somebody else's past. I'm just telling you the truth. There's a lot of people that flush babies because it's convenient. They take things to get rid of children because it's convenient. And I'm telling you, if you've ever done that, if you've ever had that, there's forgiveness for you. I forgive you. God forgives you. I don't cast no judgment. I don't throw no stones. But I'm here to tell you this, from this point on, you're not ignorant no more. Don't ever abort a baby. Don't ever condone abortion. It's murder and it's sin, and it will send you to hell, and it shuts down the promise that God has for you. A child is a blessing, whether it was an accident or a mistake. Children are the redemption that God has for the next generation. And so as parents, we have to raise, we have to direct. We've already talked about that. We have to understand that they're promised a long life when they obey the things of God. We have to understand that you and your children together have special promises together. Mark 10 and 14, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Do you know that children and adults are meant to do things together in the kingdom of God? Children and adults should worship together. Children and adults should praise and sing and rejoice together. I think that it's a tragedy that we have made, not here, but I'm talking about as the whole, as the church goes, we have made it so common to separate children completely from the services. We need them to hear good preaching. We need them to hear good worshiping. We need them to be in there when the Holy Ghost starts moving. And it should not be foreign to our children to hear people prophesy, to hear people speak in tongues, to hear people shout and worship, to see somebody run the aisle if that's what God wants them to do, or to see a grown man lay on his face and bawl like a baby. It should not be foreign to our children. They should be involved. Suffer not the children to come unto you. That's God talking. Let him do what he wants to do. He wants to touch the children. There's no junior Holy Ghost. There's no second Holy Ghost that comes just for the kids' church and then one up here. No. The same spirit that works in a 90-year-old is the same spirit that works in a 9-year-old. The same Holy Ghost that makes somebody over here do it is the same Holy Ghost that makes somebody over there do it. We're all a part of the body of Christ, whether we're babies or we're old, elderly people. God wants to use us all together. Psalms 115 and 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Grouped together, increase more and more. As a father and as a mother grows in Christ, their children are going to grow in Christ as well. Is this picking this up? You understanding this? Together, together, together. Praise the Lord. Psalms 37 and 25, oh, well, we already said that. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're old or young, you're going to see God take care of his things. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 31 and 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Children honor good mothers. How many of you mothers know what I'm talking about? Do your children tell you Happy Mother's Day and then nothing else the rest of the year? No. Your children love you. They come to you. They want to love you. They want to hug you. They want to kiss you. They want to tell you, I love you, Mama. Now, if you ain't done it in a while and your mama's still alive, get her on the phone. Say, I'm sorry I hadn't called you in the last little bit. I love you. I just want to tell you I honor you tonight. You know that? You know that God even takes care of children that are abandoned? Listen to this. Psalms 27 and 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. How many of you have ever been forsaken by your mom and dad? Everybody can admit it, or they can't. I don't know. It's the truth. You've been forsaken by mom and dad before. You may not realize it, you may not see it, but there's been a time in your life when you felt like you were left out of something that your mom and dad did or didn't do. We've been hurt by our moms and dads before. There's been things, there's been situations, maybe it was unintentional, that rubbed you the wrong way, right? Well, let me tell you, your earthly mom and daddy may mess you up, but your heavenly Father is not going to leave you or forsake you, but you will be taken up by the Lord. Praise God. Matthew 18 and 10. Do you know that children are protected by angels? Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. What does it say? That in heaven, their angels. Praise God. Your children have angels that help protect and lead and guide them. Praise God. I'm gonna go quickly. The Holy Ghost is promised to your children. I already talked about that in Acts 2 and 38 and 9. To all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. They're a part of that too. And do you know that your children, I've done this about perfect. I've got just enough time to finish it. Do you know that your children have been called to produce mighty seed? Let's go to Psalms 112, 1 and 2, if you will. Psalms 112, 1 and 2. I want you to listen to this. This is a powerful statement. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Go to this next one. His seed shall be mighty. Mighty. Mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. I'm going to leave you with this. We are not raising weak, pitiful children. This church is not rearing weak, mediocre, watered-down Christians. We are not going to have kids graduate from Sunday school, children's church, and the youth department not knowing what they believe and why they believe it. We're going to raise a generation that are mighty upon the earth. The same word that God says, and mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to hear me. The weapons of our warfare, the children of our warfare, our sons and our daughters, they're not carnal. They're not going to do it by their might, by their talent, by their ability, but their weapons, they're arrows in the quiver of you and I, and they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you realize that you are raising Davids? You're raising Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. You're raising Daniels. You're raising Deborahs. You're raising, my God in heaven, you're raising little bombs that go into the earth and destroy the kingdoms and the powers of darkness. I ain't raising no little weaklings. I want to see my kids grab a hold of somebody and cast the devil out of them. I want to see kids in this church grab a hold of somebody and pray them through to the Holy Ghost. I want to see somebody coming in a wheelchair and a little baby lay their hands on their head and they get up out of that thing and they go about their way worshiping and praising God. I want to encourage you teachers and you Sunday school leaders and all the people in this church. You are not wasting your time. You're not going through the motions. You are rearing mighty warriors upon this earth. Mamas, you ain't raising normal kids. Our goal ain't to make them A-list ball players. Our goal is not to just have doctors and lawyers. That's fine if they want to be that. But our goal is to get them into heaven first and let them preach the gospel and do the works that God's called them to do. The promise, it's like low-hanging fruit. Reach up and take it and let God multiply it and fill your bellies. Your homes, your marriages, your finances, your children. Blessed. 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 Don't care what anybody else's kids, they can suck them vapes, they can snort dope, they can shoot dope, they can drink, they can go to every party in the world. My kids, my house, we're going to be high on the Holy Ghost. We're going to be drunk on the Spirit. We're going to be empowered with the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And when we walk into places, it's not going to be the same as when we came, but things are going to be different, and folks are going to be changed, and folks are going to be set free and delivered. That's what we got to have. That's what we got to have. I'm not going to live in a hellhole. I'm not going to live in a dark home. I'm not going to come into the nighttime and be scared of the booger man or be scared of seeing something in the hallway. I'm going to take authority. I'm going to rebuke the devil. I'm going to walk in the light of God, and greater is he that's within me than he that's within this world. I'm going to declare the blessings over my finances, over my appliances, over my roof. I don't care if your roof's 50 years old. Speak to that thing and say, you're not going to leak till I got the money to replace you. I believe God will come in and take care of it. I believe he will. Why? Because his promises are to have a mighty generation that's blessed coming in and going out. We're going to get a handkerchief here in just a moment. My friend in the back is going for surgery on his foot in the morning. In fact, why don't you come here, Brother Kim? Their son is going to have, did you say back surgery? Hand surgery in Tyler, but he's going in the morning in Texarkana, going to have foot operated on. And I just feel to pray with him, and we're going to anoint a handkerchief that he can take with him into that operating room, and we're going to see it happen. Amen. If there's anybody else in this church tonight that you need prayer, you need a healing, you need a deliverance, you need peace in your house, you need something shaken off of you and a yoke destroyed and a burden removed, I believe that God will do it for you. The promise ain't just for one. It's not just the Old Testament, but it's for anybody that asks, you will receive. The Word of God says that if you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled up. So tonight we're going to pray for these, and then anybody else want prayer, I want you to just come on right now. Don't wait. We ain't going to take all night. We're going to pray. We're going to command it to happen, and it's going to come to fruition. So if you need prayer, come on. I need some elders, some men and some women of God. I want you to come here. I want to lay hands on this gentleman and his wife, and I want us to pray, and I want us to believe, and I want us to just see what God does tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Throw a hand up this way. Father, I thank you right now that you're a healing God. I thank you that you promised that by your stripes we were and are healed. And I worship you and I thank you in advance right now that from the top of his head to the bottom of those feet, that this is going to come out perfect. I thank you there's not going to be any kind of issue. There's not going to be any kind of abnormality. There's not going to be any kind of hiccup, but it's going to be perfect when they get done with this thing. Father, I wouldn't doubt it if it's not even done right now, even before he goes in for surgery. Lord, let it be done. God, I thank you and I love you and I worship you, Lord God, for each and every person here. I ask you, Lord God, to bless their homes, to bless their finances, to bless their children, to bless their husbands, their wives, every aspect of our homes, God. I ask you, Lord God, to touch it from the chimney to the foundation in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord God, to raise up Sister Peggy tonight. God, let her levels, let her thyroid, let everything be normalized. Let her strength come back sevenfold in Jesus' name. Put in her a hunger and an appetite to eat and to grow stronger day by day in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for Brother Bill. I thank you, Lord God, for his body to be encouraged and to be strengthened. I thank you that the blood flow to be right. I thank you for everything to come into order in Jesus' precious name. We worship you, God, and we thank you in advance for it. Amen, amen. What do you need prayer for, Gina? All right, we're going to pray for Sister Peggy, and we're going to pray for an aunt that needs healing right now in Jesus' name, God. I thank you and I worship you, Lord Jesus, that it's already done. I thank you that you've dispatched angels on an assignment to fix, to heal, and to make things right and in order in Jesus' name. Father, I rebuke every spirit of death. I rebuke every spirit of infirmity. I rebuke every abnormality and every dysfunctional thing. And I command it to come into order right now under the authority of the Word of God. I praise you, Lord Jesus, that you send comfort. I thank you, God, that you send peace. You send direction. And you let us all know that it's going to be all right in Jesus' name. I praise you and I love you, God, for all that you do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do we have any teachers in this room? Any other teacher? Come on, Rhonda. Any other teachers? We're going to do this again before school starts, but tonight, Brianne brought a handkerchief up. They're working in that school and getting things together. We're going to pray and believe that there's going to be peace. You know, that's a mission field. And there's going to be little kids. You can't instigate the conversation, but you can tell them about Jesus when they ask. And I'm believing that God's going to show you and God's going to direct you on how to do that. Is there anybody else that's a teacher or a teacher's aide in this place? Yeah, come on, right here. Y'all gather up right here in the midst of it. Throw up a hand this way. Father God, I thank you right now, Jesus, that those schools, all the schools are going to be overshadowed by the angels of heaven. I thank you, God, that you yourself, Jesus, you're going to walk those halls. You're going to go up and down the halls of those schools, and your presence is going to be known. I thank you, Lord, that there's going to be protection. There's going to be direction. There's going to be wisdom. There's going to be knowledge. There's going to be all these things that you're going to provide for these teachers and for these kids. And God, this is going to be a year of revival in the classroom. I praise you right now that this LifeWise program, I thank you that the gospel program that they're bringing into these schools this year is going to see people saved left and right. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be preached, and folks are going to be changed. I thank you right now, Lord God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that not one attack of the enemy will come to fruition. But God, you're going to allow the peace that would pass all understanding, the joy that's our strength, and the presence of Almighty God to reside in those classrooms. I thank you, Jesus, that it's done. We declare it finished. We declare it completed. In Jesus' name, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, I love you. Jesus loves you. Spend a little time, love on somebody tonight, and tell them how much you appreciate seeing them in the house of God. Worship him all week long. Make your house a house of worship, a place where the Lord's welcome to do what he wants to. In Jesus' name. I love you. See you Wednesday night. Be blessed.